this is the day that the Lord has made.
Blessed
and rejoice in God. I'd like to welcome you all here the first Sunday after Epiphany. We'll be using Divine Service 1 from the Lutheran Service Book, hymns 410, 839, 445, 400, 411, and 412. Well, Father, our service you received on the way to the meeting on page 3 with confession and absolution, Father, sharing the peace and the procession of him. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all of our righteousness.
Let us kneel and be seated for confession of sins. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors and ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us rise and share the peace of the Lord with one another. let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Steadfast love toward us. body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greatest modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, and gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for the singing of the Alleluia verse.
To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land, and Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And when they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away." This is the gospel of the Lord. It's time to make people be seated. We invite the youngsters and the congregation and the visitors to come forward for the children's.
You guys were waiting for the snow, weren't you? Good morning, Walter. I like your dinosaur.
Stegosaurus.
Good morning, girls.
What a great place to be here in God's house, huh? Isn't it wonderful to be here? So, you guys see, I've got a basket of stuff here. Let's see, Walter, can you, or maybe, Wendy, can you put these on? I'm going to put these mittens on me. That one there. And do this one on this hand. And let's see, Walter, maybe you can put some. How's that? Can you hear anything? Oh. You can't hear anymore. How about some glasses? No, big sodium or glasses? No. All right, we'll do this. Don't be more, even more scared. How about one leg? You ever do a three-legged race? We'll pretend. And what if I tied one of your legs together? If I tie one leg to Sylvia's, would that be okay? Not real tight. We'll let Dad do it if we need to. All right, so now we got these things on, right? And maybe we'll have like a little race. And I'll give you instructions. And Wendy, I'm going to have you look up hymn pages, okay? You're going to look up hymn pages in the hymnal. And I'm going to give you the hymn number, but I'll whisper it to Walter, and he'll have to tell you, okay? But he won't be able to hear me, so he can't hear. And then we'll see how fast you can go, okay? Sylvia and Geneva, is that all right? You think you'd be quicker having your legs tied together? Or would it be easier by yourself? There's a lot of rules, huh? A lot of different rules. And I just read from the epistle, we all have different gifts. That's what we're hearing from St. Paul. We all have different gifts. And if we go and try to do something, and maybe some people are really good with their hands, maybe some people don't have their hands, and some people can't hear, and some people can't talk, and some people have trouble walking, right? All these things come along. How are we ever going to get things done, right? We all have to work together. I want you to be able to hear me better, right, Walter? Is that better? Can you hear better? Yeah. You can hear better with help, right? And if I take your mittens off, you can probably turn pages a lot easier, right? You get some help. And if you don't have your legs tied together, you can walk a lot easier, right? But we all want to do things our way. We don't want to do it my way. Does that make it easier? Like, if you don't have to listen to mom and dad or the teachers, I'll just do it my way, right? Yeah. Well, we have the inspired word of God in this book. What is this book? The Bible. That's what we just read, that we need Jesus' help. Jesus went back to his hometown. Wouldn't that be cool? Go back to your hometown when you grow up and you go back to your hometown. And the people knew that Jesus was healing people and he had the word of God. He was such a great teacher. He was raising people from the dead. And they wanted them to do that there. He said, Jesus, who are you going to help here? And he said, I am your help. I am your help. All those wonderful things happen, but Jesus is the help, right? He doesn't have to go around and prove. He did prove, right? He proved. How did he prove that he was all-powerful? He is God and all-powerful. Jesus had to go to the cross, right? He went to the cross and he died for us. He died for each one of us. And that's St. Paul reminded us of that too. He said, God made each one of you just as he chose. God made you. He made all of us just like we are, right? And he can use us for his glory, just the way we are, right? You say a prayer with me? Heavenly Father,
thank you for your gifts.
Bless these children
and their families
to grow in faith and strengthen you through our Savior, your Son, Jesus. Amen. Just like we all have all kinds of different gifts, I've got all kinds of different candy. There's granola bars and suckers and s'mores, and you can have your pick and have a great week.
We continue with the Sermon Hymn of Christ, Our True and Only Light, on page 10. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a wild scene. Mob violence, first century vigilante justice. The angry crowd surges and surrounds the man, and through the sheer force of the mass, they push the man outside and up the hill to the edge of the cliff. They want to push the man off the cliff so his body will be crushed on the rocks beneath. Mob thinking has taken over. This man must die. And what did he do? Did he murder someone? Did he hurt a child? Did he steal from a widow? What has this man done that has made the crowd so furious that they want to kill him? Well, he didn't do anything. That's really the problem. He didn't do anything. He simply told them the truth. And what did this man say that made them so angry they're going to throw him off a cliff? Well, it turns out he is not who they want him to be, and he won't do what they want him to do. This man, Jesus, has come home. He's come to his hometown of Nazareth, and he goes to the synagogue on Saturday, and he reads to the people from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus then sits down and tells the people that today this prophecy is fulfilled in their ears. Jesus announces to the people that he is the one. The Spirit of Yahweh is upon him, as was clearly shown at his baptism in the Jordan when the Spirit descended on him like a dove. Jesus tells the hometown crowd that he is the one anointed to proclaim good news and liberty, to bring sight to the blind and freedom to the captive. Jesus is the Christ of God. He is the Messiah. He is the chosen one. He announces this to the hometown crowd. Small town boy made good. Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. He has come to bring the good news of forgiveness of sins. He has come to bring people out of spiritual darkness. He has come to free people from spiritual bondage. What an amazing announcement. The people marvel at his words of grace. But the marveling soon turns to rebellion. Hey, don't we know this guy? Isn't this Joseph's son? We've known him since he was a child. Who does he think he is? And what's all this talk about being poor and captive and blind and oppressed? Hey, hold on a minute. He's talking about us. He's saying that we aren't good enough. He's saying we are sinners. And Jesus knows that the people know that Jesus has done signs and wonders in other places, and they want him to do the same here. Jesus knows that they expect a miracle show. But since they're going to reject Jesus, he is not going to do miracles for them. And hearing that Jesus will not do what they want him to do, the crowd goes wild, and not in a good way. They want to kill him, and the mob surrounds him in the synagogue, the Jewish house of worship. Jesus tells them that he's the fulfillment of the words of the prophet Isaiah, but that's not enough. They want him to do miracles, and since he won't do it because they are going to reject him, they do indeed reject him and drive him to the edge of the cliff in order to kill him. And then, ironically, Jesus does perform a miracle as he moves through the angry crowd and goes away, for it is not yet time for him to die. The people want to kill Jesus because he is not the Messiah that they're looking for. The people of Nazareth don't want a Messiah that's going to call them sinners living in spiritual darkness. They don't want a Messiah who will save them from their sins. Instead, they want a Messiah to be a powerful force and do great signs and wonders and drive out the Romans and bring people prosperity and glory, health and wealth. This Jesus fellow claims to be the Messiah, but this is not the Messiah that they're looking for. And they react with violence. Not much has changed today. Jesus can bring intense reactions from people and demands for a sign. Once I was talking to a friend about Jesus. He was an unbelieving friend, and he demanded proof. He said, if Jesus is really God, have him show up behind the Dairy Queen at 7 o'clock and we can duke it out. People want Jesus to give them a sign. If Jesus is real, then he will do exactly what I tell him to do, exactly when I tell him to do it. If Jesus is really God, then he will heal my every sickness. He will get me the new job. He'll get me the bigger house. If Jesus is really God, we can hear echoes of the devil tempting Jesus in the wilderness. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Folks look at Jesus and think, this is not the Messiah that I'm looking for. Jesus may not be the Messiah that you're looking for, but he is the Messiah that you need. Jesus comes to tell you that you are a sinner who needs a Savior. You are by yourself, poor, oppressed, and blind. He comes to bring you sight in your spiritual blindness. You need Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus comes to you in his words of forgiveness come into your ears, working the truth that they proclaim. Your sins are forgiven. Jesus comes to you in the words of Scripture read and sung in worship, proclaiming that he is the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus comes to you in his body and blood and Holy Communion to bring you forgiveness, life, and salvation. Jesus comes to you here in this place to proclaim to you good news and liberty. But there is a great temptation to believe that Jesus is not the Messiah because he is not the Messiah you are looking for. There's great temptation to believe that you need a Messiah to do your bidding, a Messiah to do what you want him to do, a Messiah to tell you that you're good enough on your own, a Messiah who will bless your sin, a Messiah who will bring you happiness and prosperity, a Messiah who will make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. This is the Jesus that people are looking for, but Jesus of Nazareth is not that Messiah. He is the Messiah of truth, the truth about you and the truth about him. You are a sinner, and Jesus came for sinners. But this truth is too much truth for so many. And so even today, there are many that reject Jesus and want to destroy him along with any of his followers. There is blatant violence against followers of Jesus around the world. In North Korea, if you are caught with just one Bible verse, you face years of imprisonment in a concentration camp or even execution. The Taliban in Afghanistan have lists of Christians, and those on the lists are being killed or disappearing. There are Christians around the world who face violence and death because of Jesus. 1 in 7 Christians in the world face violent persecution for their faith. In Western nations, it's not so much violence, but there's a tremendous push to silence the truth about Jesus. People reject that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. The elites of society push an ever new radical sexual agenda, and any opposition must be silenced. They want to silence Jesus when he says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Jesus is offensive. The cross of Jesus is offensive. So many in our nation are offended by the cross. They seek to have the cross of Christ removed from any public land or public places. It's fascinating how much power the cross has to offend people who believe the cross is meaningless. Jesus provokes people. He provokes people to love and to hate. I worry that the opponents of Jesus hate him more than we as his followers love him. Jesus' enemies can be quite motivated in their opposition, while those in the church can be complacent. Jesus himself was in the practice of weekly worship at the synagogue, while today many find a couple hours a week to be far too great a commitment. Thank God Jesus doesn't play to the crowd. He isn't swayed by current trends or public opinion. Jesus remains the Messiah that we need. He is the one who comes to tell us that we're sinners, and he is the one to give us the solution to our sin in his own suffering and death. He is the unexpected Messiah who is glorified in his shame. He is exalted in his death when the crowd goes wild and shouts for his blood and drives Jesus up the hill to crucify him. He takes from you your sin and gives you his holy perfection. Jesus may not be the Messiah that you're looking for,
But he is the Messiah that you need. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Their prayers to remember Becky Crossman, who has cancer. Lexi, the granddaughter of friends of Matt Franklin, being treated for serious medical issues. For Sally Martin, hospitalized in South Carolina with pneumonia. For Gerald Marker, the cousin of Bruce Selmayr, hospitalized and now in a rehab facility. For Ruth DePlagin, Priscilla Plunkett's mother, recovering from surgery. For Carolyn Niemoller and her family, the death of her son, the Reverend Mark Niemoller. For Tommy Hedden, one of our daycare workers, at the death of her brother. For Dale Dauber, who's been hospitalized. And for Tim Brunner, who's hospitalized with chest pain. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. In thanksgiving to the Lord, Zion has arisen and shown pity to our fallen world, setting us free from our sin and death. In thanksgiving for Christ, in whom the appointed time of favor has come for all people, and for the gift of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, that Christ came to be declared among all people, and his grace received with delight in every place, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For eagerness to hear the Word of God with understanding, as in the days of Ezra the priest, that with attentive ears we may receive it, our days be sanctified by it, and his commandments be put into practice among us. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For harmony in the Christian church, arranged as members of one body in Christ Jesus, that we may be free of jealousy or contempt toward our fellow Christians, bestow honor on weaker brothers, suffer and rejoice together, and serve in harmony as those baptized into one Spirit. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all families and homes that one generation may tell to the next the wonderful works of God in Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the comfort of those who mourn and the care of those who need healing, especially Becky, Lexi, Sally, Gerald, Ruth, the Niemoller family, Tommy Hedden's family, Dale Yauger, and Tim. That the great physician would mend up the bodies and would uplift the spirits of all who need his compassion. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For faith and gratitude among us, that we would not despise the Lord, who has come with favor to deliver us, who gives cleansing and strength in his blessed sacrament, that he would not pass through us and go away as at Nazareth, but dwell among us graciously. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us For you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Give us this day our daily bread, us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in true faith for life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
Thank you.
you have refreshed us through this solitary day. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.